This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So we've talked about it, and the time is finally here. Our third annual benchmark is now live. If you are a Parmelis client, you probably got this week. But for the rest of you, it is live now. If you want to grab a copy of it yourself, go to parmelis.com and I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can grab it. But all in all, there is way too much to talk about on this episode, and we're really going to break this into a couple episodes. But what I wanted to check out this week is some of the trends that we've been seeing. We've been doing this for a couple of years, and we got some cool trends that I want to highlight between 2024 and 2025. All things numbers, all things benchmarks, and all the trends that we're seeing in the industry is what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into it, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions in most popular podcast episodes, is available now on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers repair shops like yours? Shoot us an email at info@parmelis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to hire top talent for your top shop, give Promotive a call. If you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call. If you need to get your marketing working in Overdrive, give Overdrive Marketing a call. And if you need to get your shop moving in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call today. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. What happened if you knew next week's car count before it happened? Overdrive combines real marketing leadership with AI-powered campaigns through Overdrive OS. It predicts slowdowns, it launches offers, and tracks your ROI automatically. Stop guessing, start controlling growth, and visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's O-V-E-R-D-R-Y-V-E marketing.com. So like I mentioned in the intro, we're going to be spending a couple weeks talking about this, and I cannot repeat this enough. You are not going to get everything that you can gain out of this by listening to me talk about it. Some of this is context. Some of this, especially what we're going to talk about at first, is the methodology behind this, and also a little bit of the future and what we're going to be able to do with this data. But guys, there is so many conclusions that you can draw from it and so much more than I could ever draw on your business. Think about how many numbers and stuff I look at. And think about everything in your business that you could possibly measure. There are industry averages, there are comparison, and this is real numbers of what your competition is doing. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you, the people that actually made this happen. If you think about it, this report would never happen if we didn't have our clients, right? This is not our data. This is us putting together a report with your data. So if you were a part of the study, thank you, thank you, thank you. This study is only open for Parmelis clients. So if you're thinking to yourself, Hunt, I would like to have my numbers in there in the future. Well, hey, you got to sign up with us. If you are one of my clients and you're saying, Hunt, I missed the mark on this, then make sure you shoot us a message. We will make sure that you get on it for next year. For those people that did participate in it, your report is going to look different than everyone else's. We give you all of the tools for anyone listening to this that you can go in there and you can compare your numbers. If you were actually part of this study, if you actually gave us your numbers, if you actually filled out the survey on it, you will get a report that not only shows what everyone else got, but also an individualized report for you that shows where your numbers compare. Does it mean you have a worse business because you are below average on labor gross profit compared to someone else? Maybe, but it really depends on what you're trying to do here. What you're going to notice the more and more that you run down through this report is there's a lot of commonality. There's a lot of things that shops share. There's a lot of trends that we can look at. But also, I cannot be clearer about this, that there is so many different ways to run a shop. You think that you have to run a shop with flat rate? Great. It shows about half of our top shops are doing it. You think flat rate is the devil and you would never do this, but you don't think that you can have a profitable shop? Half of our top shops are paying salary and hourly. So some of those constants, some of those assumptions that you maybe came in with this, right? Try to get those out of your mind and really look at what this data is saying and then compare it to you. Some of these numbers you might know off the top of your head. Some of these you might need to go look into, but that is what I'm imploring you to do here. This is free. We're going to send this out to everyone. The worst thing that we can do is have no one use this. When we went together and did this, we surveyed all of our clients. Now, all of our clients did not respond, but this is the largest response that we've ever had, right? We had over 200 shops in there, more than 200 locations all around the country. The cool part about this is just the fact that we're able to do this. I've been doing this for about 20 years. We've had this data for about 32 years. There was probably a time around 5 years ago where it went from a pipe dream to the technology, the companies, the people out there can actually do this and do this in a relatively quick sense. Like I said, this is our third year doing this. The first year took a really, really long time. The second year took a little bit less time. And then the third year is getting even better. Why am I mentioning this? Am I trying to say how much time we are using on this? No, I'm actually telling you the opposite. I know that no one likes to talk about AI and everyone likes to pretend that it's not here, but one of the benefits of AI and what we're going to see in the future is sheer massive amounts of data that no human or no one would ever pay a human to go down through and make assumptions out of, make trends, make this entire report. It wasn't possible. We paid companies, or same company, a lot of money for the last couple of years to do this. The cool part about this is with AI and what Parmelis is doing with AI, we are actually going to be able to run this report essentially on demand. There is going to be a point here in the near future where all of your data is going to be constantly benchmarked. Even though this is really good data, right? This is our 2026 report with 2025 data. How cool would it be if we could look at this every single 12 months? If you wanted to see your average sale per technician compared to other Euro shops in your area over the past rolling 12 months, in the past, that was a pipe dream. In the past, that was something that we talked about because it'd be really cool numbers if you could measure it, but it was either impossible to do it or financially just not reasonable. But with the advent of AI and all the tools that it gives us on this, we in the near future will be able to benchmark just about anything that you could ever imagine. What am I saying on this? If you like these numbers, you like these data, the good news for you is we will have more of this stuff for you. And if you're a Parmelis client, it is all going to be free. This is something we're able to leverage technology and we're able to leverage, you know, our own expertise on this and give you guys the exact reports that you need to make the right decisions and understand your numbers even more. And this is really the whole idea of why we give this out. We only deal with auto repair shops. There is not a single other firm in the country that has this data. And I think that it's good data to get out there for everyone. If you have a friend, if you have someone that talks about this stuff, that wonders about it, share it. If you're in a coaching company and you got buddies asking about this, go ahead, share. We don't even need credit for it. There's logos and stuff on there. I just want to know that people have this in their hands. They're making their own assumptions. They're doing their own research. Now that we got this out of the way, let's take a look at this actual report. Overall, there's a lot of stuff to take out of this. There is some stuff that we did differently this year than we did in previous years. We are going to analyze the top versus not shops, and in some context, also analyze if we see some trends in previous years on that. We also measure this based on if you're a diesel shop, doing European, doing, you know, general repair. A lot of this data only starts to make sense once you start looking for shops in your area, in your type. So we're going to talk about all of that. But what we're going to start on this week, and really the primary focus of this episode, is some trends that we are seeing from 2024 to 2025. One of the first things that I wanted to highlight on this one is that we got to keep in mind that these are not all of the same shops. And I'll give you one specific example of that that I want you guys to be very careful with. Average repair order, if we look at average repair order, increased by 11.3% when we compared it this year to last year. So average repair order last year was around $700. Average repair order this year is around $780. I think that that is important. If you feel like that you're an average shop in an average place with an average labor rate, that is a very good spot check on what you do. But is that going to be a good comparison for you if you do a large amount of state inspections or oil changes? No. I will guarantee you that the people setting that rate are generally not doing lower aero work that is going to be able to pull that down. Another thing about this is some of these numbers by themselves are really just kind of worthless. And I know that I'm picking on average repair order here, but this is another example of why this is a little bit tricky. Let's say that your average repair order dropped, but your car count went up. Are you really that mad? Well, what you're going to say is, Hunt, it depends. Overall, you guys are chasing for a higher amount of sales. You know, if you're able to do less cars, but the aero went up high enough that you still did more in sales, your production was probably higher, your productivity was probably higher, your sales was probably higher as well. So some of this stuff is so interconnected, and aero is a great example of that. If you look at this, aero is up, average car count is down, overall sales are up. The thing about this is not all of these numbers are connected to other things. This is one of the reasons of why we measure this stuff. And I'll talk to you about sales. Sales is going to be the first place that we start, because if you look on the snapshot, you can see sales across the board are up. $132,000 is our average monthly sale. Even that number right there, is that going to give a whole lot of value to you? No. This is what you guys love to talk about. I see you guys on Shop Owners Group talking about this all the time. And a handful of you like to put on there that you guys have had record months because you just did $1 million out of your one location. I don't care about sales, and you should not care about sales either. And even more so, you should completely not care about sales if you're looking at a benchmark of the entire industry. Average monthly sales, but how many techs, but how many square foot, but how many bays? Were you making any money when you were doing those sales, or were they just sales? Again, it's good at looking at trends. It's good to see what the industry is doing, but not all of this really matches up. One of the first great numbers on here, and this is one of my favorite ones because we've always talked about this number. It was very hard to measure. Is average monthly sales per technician. This is a great one that you can compare across the board. How much are my techs producing? This is largely dependent on how much you mark stuff up and how much your labor rate is. So keep in mind that all of this is kind of done on an average this year of, let's see, $172 an hour on your labor rate. So if you're sitting here right now and you say, Hunt, I think that my technicians need to do more work. I'm currently at around $172 an hour labor rate on this, and my technicians average around $25,000 per month. Looking at these numbers, looking at this data on there, it's pretty clear to say of like, if you are comparing this to the average, we're well below that, right? An average shop based on our current labor rate is going to be closer to $33,000, not the $25,000 that we're showing. If you're looking at this and saying, well, Hunt, my labor rate is at 151 and my average monthly sales are at 32,000. Am I mad if I'm that shop owner? No, and this is why you guys got to be very careful. Because if you cherry pick one of these numbers and you don't add some context to it, you could kind of get a little bit of a misnomer there. What that is actually saying is that your technicians have higher than average productivity, but your labor rate is lower than the average, so you're not quite at the average monthly sales per tech. Great rules of thumb, great kind of things for forecasting and getting general ideas. But unless you are the average shop in the average area on this, it's going to have a little bit of context to it. Let's just look at sales, because overall, you can see on sales, I think sales are up around 10 or 11%. I am going to argue this, and I've seen this time and time again. And as I've been talking to shops all of this year, I go back and remind you guys of how much are you guys actually up in sales and how much are you guys actually up in production. Two very different things and sometimes kind of dependent on different factors. If we look at this, and I know right off the bat that average labor rates went up around 4 to 5%. Average labor rate in the study last year was 165. This year it's 172. If I'm looking at my shop and I know that my labor rate went up 4% and my overall sales went up 4%, did I actually do any more work, or was just I the victim of my circumstances? Hey, production was probably pretty darn similar. That is only part of this, guys. Think about this to yourself. Think about this when you're judging last year. How much of this did I produce more, and how much of this was really just me selling more? We're going to get to this in a second, because none of this you really care about. What you care about is how much of this stuff you keep. But if your labor rates you already know are up 4 or 5, some of you guys are already up 10% on this, If you're up 10% in your labor rate and your sales are up 8%, you guys had a worse year. And then you even spoiled yourself a little bit with the labor increase. Now, guys, this is only half of the margins on this. When you guys are selling stuff, you're selling parts and you're selling labor. We already talked about labor. You guys already know you increase your prices on it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, hun, I'd increase my parts margin. My parts matrix is exactly the same as what it was in the past. If your parts margin is exactly the same, we all know that costs are rising. So if you have a part that went from $40 to $50, that's only probably a $10 change in your cost, but it's going to be a $20 change in what you sell it for. And this is what we're seeing across the board. It is harder to get parts. The parts that you guys are buying are more expensive on it, but luckily for you guys are able to sell more of this. Okay? So again, no downside to this, but a lot of context to what we're seeing here. If you look at the average gross profit, or if you look at the average monthly sales by bay or by technician, I would argue that what you're seeing is a very indistinguishable increase. One of the things that really jumped out at me, and this is, we'll bury the lead on this because I'll talk about this ad nauseum for the next 2 weeks on this, but virtually the only kind of good indicator on how well a shop is going to do is looking at their productivity. So if they have higher productivity, if they have higher than average productivity, 9 times out of 10, they have higher than average net profit. How much do you maximize your people? How much do you maximize your square footage? Which it's very hard to measure the square footage because you guys don't give us good data on that. But really, that is the true key to your success. How do you make money on labor? You leverage it. You make more money on a technician if you sell them for 3 times as cost or 4 times. General idea there. Same thing on utilizing your space. Utilizing your space is a weird way of looking at outrunning your overhead. How much in gross profit do you need to outrun the overhead on a 1-bay location? How much gross profit do you need to outrun overhead on a 12-bay facility? Then at the end of the day, the shops that got this right not only had productive people, they had enough productive people in their shop to not only give good productivity, good labor gross profit, but also keep their overhead in check. Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Most shops don't have a marketing problem. They have a systems problem. Overdrive.os was built to solve that. It's not another vendor. It's your AI-powered marketing operating system built specifically for auto repair shop. It predicts slow weeks before they happen, automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns, tracks ROI down to the dollar, and optimizes performance in real time. No guesswork, no wasted ad spend, no hope marketing, just predictable car count, stronger retention, and measurable profitability. Schedule a strategy call today and let's build your growth engine. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. One of the surprising things that we've seen, though, is we have seen on our side of things a massive increase in overall productivity. When I say massive on this, you might be looking to yourself and say, Hunt, this is only what, 7-8% increase? We went from 47% up to 55%. Yeah, but if you want to look at it another way, that's about a 20% increase in production. So that means that the average shop out there is getting more productive. But if you remember, our overall sales are not going up by that much. Our overall labor gross profit is virtually identical, and we're not really making much more money on parts. What is going on here, and what is a good reason that this could be happening? This is where my part stops and your part begins. Because if you are looking at this shop, you have the luxury of all of this data that you can probably find a reason on it. I will spoil you guys a bit because I have been seeing this a lot this year when I'm going down through financials with my clients. And one of the things that we don't necessarily measure on here, because it's very tricky and not all of your shop management software gives it to us, is your effective labor rate. When we look at productivity, we are looking at how many dollars did you get sold at your street rate, not necessarily factoring in the effective. Now, in a perfect situation, it shouldn't change on here, but the numbers do not lie. The numbers do not lie. If we had an overall increase in productivity that we didn't ultimately see in the gross profit, and as we'll talk about in a second, we did not see in the net income as well. What that is not all of your labor hours sold are equal. And generally, what we see across the board is if you increase your labor rate, you are going to increase your effective labor rate. And if you guys don't know what effective labor rate is how much your customers are actually paying, not what's on the door. So if you say, Hunt, my labor rate is $200 an hour, but you just sold a guy an hour of work for $100, well, your effective labor rate is $100 because that's what people actually paid. We don't necessarily measure this on here. And for the most part, since a long time, I don't generally see that much of a change between what your street rate is and what your effective is. And no, I'm not talking about these rules of thumb of, hey, Hunt, I heard that if your labor rate is $200, your effective labor rate should be $160 or better. No, I have some people running the Bed Bath & Beyond model, which is just that. Everyone ends up paying 20% less than my street rate. I have other people that if you look at their street rate and you ask them what their effective is, they don't even understand it because they literally sell everything at their street rate. I even have some people on the other end of the spectrum that their door rate is $182, but their effective labor rate is $230 between matrix pricing, whatever. What I am seeing now in my shops on this is that I do have some changes. And I was just talking with two shops this week where the exact same thing happened. Overall, on the front end of things, if I'm looking at their financials, I see their labor costs going up and I see their labor sales going up by not as much. So when I look at this, it looks like a productivity issue. It looks like we're not selling enough hours. And this one I just calculated, it looked like they only sold 450 hours based on what I know their street rate is. However, when we actually looked into this, they sold over 600 hours. It was just at a discounted rate because they had so many more oil changes in some of these quick services. And again, maybe this isn't happening at your shop, but I do see this a lot. If you don't charge anything for your labor on your oil change, right? And again, everyone breaks this up differently, but even if you do charge a labor rate for your oil change, keep that in the back of your mind. You know that it's not your street rate. If it is, God bless you, but it's probably not. Think about what your overall effective labor rate is based on 20% of your work being oil changes. One out of every five ends up just being an oil change in the past, and you're able to sell other stuff for these other people to bring up that labor rate. What happens if times are tough? Your customer doesn't have any money. Their credit limit is getting declined. They don't have as much access to capital there. Do you think that that is going to increase or decrease your percentage of oil changes? If you have a bunch of people saying no to recommended services, maintenance, and stuff like that, they're still going to have to get their oil change. And what we are seeing now is we have a lot more people with a creeping increase on some of these lower margin work. Let's face it, look at the economy, look at the general population on it. Most of our customers are not flush with cash. They're declining a lot of work and accepting some of this lower margin jobs because they don't have a choice on it. What does that mean? That means that if your effective labor rate is falling this year, it might not be something that you've ever seen in the past, but unless you get ahead of that and either fix that on the pricing side or you fix that on the just sales side of things, if you have declining effective labor rate, even an increase in productivity might not be enough for you to make more money. And that is kind of essentially what we saw this year. Technicians did more work. Technician productivity went from 47% up to 55%. Overall labor rates went up from 165 to 172. Overall gross profit is up about a point and a half, right? From 59% to almost 61%. You guys are making more money on your parts than you ever have before. Overall gross profit is up a point, and even after advisor, it's almost up a point as well. Now, how can all of this happen and you guys are making the exact same amount of money? Real quick, I need to talk about making the exact same amount of money, because I want you to start measuring your numbers this way. This is how we measure all of you guys anyways. But don't just look at your net profit. Look at what you pay yourself plus net profit. What that does is removes the variables of some of you guys that don't like to take any officer pay. It normalizes your income with the other person that takes $200,000 of payroll. This is what you guys really care about. What percentage of this money ends up in my pocket once it comes through the doors? And so what we are seeing, and it is virtually identical to last year, is the average shop owner is keeping 15.4% of their sales, either in the form of profit or payroll. This is only up 0.1% from last year. It was virtually identical at 15.3 last year. What we are seeing is it takes more time to make the same amount of money if your labor rate or your effective labor rate is lower, right? We just talked about that. We've already seen this. How many of you guys have increased your labor rate just to cover your increase in overhead costs? Insurance is a big one. Most people that have insurance, liability, health insurance, you name it, our overhead is going up. It costs more to advertise. It costs more to have subscriptions on this. There's more subscriptions that you guys are paying for. And we are seeing that in the numbers as well. One of the largest jumps from last year to this year was average overhead last year was around 33% of your sales. And average overhead this year is around 35%. This is why you guys were all able to do better on the front end pricing, even though it probably took some more labor input to do that. But we were ahead on gross profit. Gross profit was higher than it was last year, but our overhead was up just the same amount. So overall, essentially, the customers paid for the increase in overhead. Does this sound like your shop? Did you notice something completely different? Or maybe this reinforced the thought that you already have. You got to look at this stuff and you got to see, is this my reality or am I an outlier? Sometimes it's good to be an outlier, right? If you're talking to yourself and you're like, "Hunt, productivity is up. I was vigilant on my effective labor rate," then there's no way that you ever made less money. If your guys are more productive, you have the same amount of guys and your labor rate is the same or higher than it was before, there's no way to not make more money. But how many of you guys are thinking to yourself of, maybe I kind of left one out there last year? I was kind of mad at my team on this because the sales did not end up where I thought they would be. Even though if I look at the inputs, the amount of hours were up, you know, the amount of close ratio was up. How much of this is, do I need to look at my own pricing and get these guys some more hours? And how much of this stuff is, this is the sign of the time and maybe we are just weathering a storm? I'm not sure, right? And only you would be able to do that by taking some time and making your own conclusions. We are going to get into more of this stuff because, again, do you care about what the average shop's doing out there? No, you probably want to do what the top shops are doing and you want to try to avoid what the not shops are. So we are going to compare some of these numbers next week to what the top shops are doing. But I wanted to give you guys kind of a quick snapshot of the non-financial side of this industry. What are people offering? What are you seeing the trends on this? How are they paying people? How are they paying their advisors? What coaching companies are they using? What point of sale? So I'm going to go down through and kind of highlight all of this stuff. Overall, the adoption of benefits or offering benefits to your team has been increasing just about every single year. Not only is the average person making more in this profession, or probably opens the door for things like retirements and profit sharing on this, but just the landscape of it, of getting so competitive of hiring top talent, especially if you're not using Promotive, you need to set yourself apart by either an offering benefits, paying for it, or something like that. And that's exactly what we see. This is the highest number that we've ever seen this. I think every year that we've measured this on the health insurance side, it has gone up. But 73% of our shops that we surveyed are offering health insurance. We don't exactly measure this on this, but if you want kind of Hunt's rule of thumb on here, if you're going to offer health insurance, you generally have to pay for around 50% of the cost of that. or else it just becomes kind of financially not reasonable for your technician. Are some of the 73% paying for 100%? Absolutely. But it's much, much less common, and I only generally see that on smaller shops. One of the reasons that you got to be very careful on this stuff, guys, is that you cannot be discriminatory on benefits. Meaning if you're committing to pay 100% for your team of four and you start adding people on there, you're going to have to offer them 100% benefits as well. That is probably one of the downsides that I see on some people is I have some people going away from the benefit side because it is too costly for them. Generally, those people are doing pretty well and they have more people than they know what to do with. That is the only way in this market that I see people really getting rid of benefits because most people are trying to adopt these just to steal the right guys from dealerships or some of these other larger groups that have some more backing and a ton more benefits. Other things not mentioned on here. Look, 78% of people are doing a retirement account. I got a ton of people doing stuff outside of this, right? Are you reimbursing your technicians for tools? Are you reimbursing your technicians for schooling, training? Are you paying mileage to your advisors? And like we talked about last week, maybe you're setting up some new stuff for Trump accounts to fund some money for some of your team's kids. There's a lot of different ways to do this. And yes, fringe benefits, especially fringe benefits that would even show up on this, are more popular than ever. If you want to compete with other shops in your area, this is what you had to do to set it apart. And I think that even another one on here, which I wanted to ask, but we don't have a high enough percentage, is my guys that went to four-day work weeks. When you ask all of them, hey, why'd you go to a four-day work week? They usually tell you one of two things. A, I hate working Fridays and I don't like to have the shop open when I'm not there. Or B, my team wanted it and this is the best way for me to attract people. If you're in an area and the going rate is $40 an hour flat rate, you look at all the ads, they're all going to be very, very similar. How does that technician pick against three different shops? Well, shop one is at $40 an hour, shop two is at $41, shop three is at $42. In the grand scheme of things, making a decision on that smaller dollars is a bit silly, especially when you don't know kind of production, how they're pricing this and stuff like that. What will get you a call back? Hey, shop one and two say, we got no benefits. You know, it's $40, $41 an hour. Come get it. Shop number three says, yeah, we do health insurance, 50%. We'll fund your HSA on it. We have a simple IRA, and we also do some tool reimbursement. Which shop do you think that technician is picking? What we just talked about here, how much is that technician billing you on a monthly basis? All that stuff is maybe costing you a couple grand a year. How much is that bay costing to not be filled? How you guys are paying the technician, I don't think has really changed that much on this. We'll look at the top versus not because, again, that one is really more of what I'm concerned about on here. But if we really look at kind of three different metrics on here, how you guys paying your shop? Salary and hourly. Right. So all of you flat rate lovers out there that are like, hey, there is no one out there still doing hourly and salary. Yeah. Around a third of our clients are old school flat rate where you guys still admit it's flat rate and it's not illegal in your state. Yeah. Around 20% of our clients are still doing old school flat rate as well, too. The most common thing that we see is kind of a blend between the two. Commission hybrid. Some people call it the California flat rate. Essentially, what it is it's an hourly based pay plan, but your hourly rate goes up as you produce more. What is the difference between that and flat rate? If you want to break down the nuts and bolts of it, probably exactly the same. You're saying, hey, I'm going to pay you at $40 times $25 an hour unless you produce. It's the same as telling someone that's on flat rate, hey, I'm going to give you a guarantee of 30 hours. One of the biggest reasons that we see people doing this, though, is really state and local laws. And that's why we kind of call it California flat rate. It was the first place that I saw where people are kind of getting creative to try to do commission-based pay plans on this and not run afoul of the laws or overtime and things like that. How you pay your guys doesn't matter. Talk to the team, see what works for you, and figure it out. Because what we're seeing on here is there's not a lot of consensus. Even on the advisor side. Well, hey, hon, I bet you everyone is paying their advisor some sort of commission. Majority are, if you want to look at it that way, but it's only 59-41%. There is a couple shops in there that probably could have gone either way on this. And how many people are paying commission or hybrid plan that their advisors never actually hit the commission level? If you have a commission-based advisor plan and you've never paid the commission out, then I hate to break it to you, but you got a salary and hourly plan. Let's say that your advisor makes $100,000 a year, but they have a possibility to make a couple extra bucks on commission. Again, some of you guys are calling that a commission plan on it, and they're really just getting their base salary. But just like on the technician side, right? It doesn't matter how you are paying your people. It is not a very good judge on what your success is. So does that mean that this is as easy as going and switching my pay plan and my guys are going to produce more and I'm going to be a top shop? No, it probably burst your bubble on this, because what we're seeing is good management makes money, not necessarily good pay plans. Before we wrap it up here, this is kind of the ones that really I wanted to know to a certain extent on there. We have a rough idea and some of these trends that we see, but also it's a little bit different. Overall on this, around 60% of our clients are doing coaching. This is lower than what we've seen in the past. I don't know why, not a knock on coaches. Generally, we're a bit higher on that, and we will also have to look at that as the top versus not. Do you care if the average people are no longer going to coaching? They feel like that they've gotten whatever they could. They feel like that the material is regurgitated. Honestly, what I see for a lot of my clients taking a step back on coaching is saying, I've been in coaching 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 years on this. I kind of know what I need to fix on my business. And you get to the stage in your business where you say, I either just need some time to work on this. Like, I'm at a 20% net profit margin. I know I can get to 25%. I got to fix X, Y, and Z. What's it going to help you by a coach telling you the same thing? Yeah, I'm working on it. This stuff takes time. What I also see is we get a lot of clients that, you know, credit to them. They've created a very, very successful business. They don't want for much, right? They got money in the bank. They're doing very well on this. And I see a lot of people just kind of stopping at that 95% level. If your shop is operating at 95% of its true potential on it, can you improve it more? Yes. Is that last 5% very painful? For a lot of people, yes as well. If you're kind of sitting fat on the cat and you're like, man, I've created a great business, I'm going to just sit back and ride out this cash cow on it, then we see people taking a step back from coaching. There is more options than ever out there on coaching. I think that there is very, very few examples where you could hire a coach and not make your money back. I think it's a really good use of your money on it, but we do see less people doing it than we have in the past. 83% of our clients are doing digital vehicle inspections. I would have thought that that was close to 100%, but some people just aren't doing them. I think some of that 17% is doing the inspections, but they do it on a lot more piecemeal basis. I'd be curious. I thought that the adoption was almost 100% at this point. This section is a big change because even the shop management softwares that we measured in the past, we've been doing this for 3 years, have changed. So right now we really track 4 of them and then other. But these 4 make up almost 90% of our client base. Coming in number 1 and not even close by any way, shape, or form is Tekmetric. You guys know it. You guys love it. We love Tekmetric. Awesome, awesome, awesome piece of software on it. And yeah, 56% of our clients are using it. Awesome adoption on this, the most popular one out there. Does it work for everyone? Probably in some degree. Are there other ones out there that clients are making just as much money on or more? Yeah, absolutely. It is the most popular one. Number 2, but we will not see this next year, is Mitchell. You guys are diehards. 11% of our clients are committed to Mitchell. Maybe you just love their terrible customer service. I kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek because Mitchell is one of the last kind of mainstays out there of a true shop management software that's not cloud-based. I know that that is what a lot of you guys are kind of clinging to, is it's not cloud-based. There is limitations of it being cloud-based. But I also think I just heard rumblings that they are finally throwing in the towel and going out of business. If you're Mitchell and you're like, we're here to stay, we're not going out of business, then send me a nasty email, but that's what I'm hearing. Next one on there is, we kind of got a tie, Shopware and ProTrack. So between those 4, that makes up 90% of our customer base. Everything else makes up, you know, the remaining 10 to 13%. Shopware, very close to a direct competitor to Tekmetric, right? Cloud-based. ProTractor, if anything, probably a direct competitor to Mitchell, right? ProTractor is not cloud-based, but of all of the softwares that we've listed on there, it is definitely the most robust, right? And I might have someone in Tekmetric come and yell at me about this. I don't even think that they would argue this. ProTractor is a true database. I love the reporting side. It can do anything under the sun. Inventory tracking. Man, you can even do your accounting through there, even though I don't recommend it. One of the downsides to that, and one of the things that we see probably less adoption on that and more adoption on a Tekmetric, is the learning curve. How many of you guys that maybe used ProTractor in your past left it and went to something a little bit easier, right? And I think that that is a big thing to look at for your own business. Am I changing my shop management software because it's going to make me more money? It's going to make my life easier, going to make my team life easier, or is this just a shiny object? I'm not going to get down to the details of it because I'm not going to sell this software for these guys, but Tekmetric is not the right shop management software for every single shop. Protractor is not the right shop management software for every single shop. Shopware is not the right software for every single shop. Be realistic with what you guys are going to use and what is important on you. There is no perfect solution out there that is going to fit everyone, right? And maybe in the future with AI, we're going to see closer to that. But be honest with what your business is doing and what you're really going to do, and you will pick a lot better option. Sometimes you might look at this and say, it's not fancy. It doesn't print the right stuff on it. Doesn't have kind of the correct logos on this, but my team uses it. We're making 30% net profit margin. I'm going to have a very, 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 very hard time switching shop management software. But it's your choice. It's your shop. You can do whatever you want. Before I let you go, though, this is one thing that I put on here to really shame you guys. And there is one group in this group that I really need to shame on here, but it all comes from your average labor rate. Average labor rate is at 174, is at 165 last year. And as you might imagine, roughly 70% of my clients increased their labor rate in the last 6 months. A bit cheaty because I probably sent this out to you guys like Q1. So a lot of you guys increased this in January. But what we're seeing people is increasing that smaller amounts more periodically throughout the year. Do not increase your labor rate $8 once a year. Increase it $2 every single quarter. You're going to end up making more money and end up at the same result. 70% of our clients have changed it within the last 6 months, which means that they're at least changing this annually. The other 20% of this, so right, this is almost 90% of it, have done it either in the last 6 months or 12 months. There is two groups on here that I need to shame. If you're in this group and you're one of my clients, then stop listening now and just go increase your labor rate. Don't say, oh, I'm going to think about it. It takes you 2 seconds, especially if you have Tekmetric. I can even log on there and do it for you. I have done these on some of my calls before. Well, I don't know how to change it. Well, great. I do. And here's what it is. 11% of our clients have either not changed their labor rate at all, or it's been 18 months or longer. You guys know how much your costs are going up. Look at how much your parts costs are going up. Any of you guys that say, well, hey, I can't increase my labor rate on it. Look at what you pay your technicians. You better have been increasing them over the last 2 years. And I imagine that you have, or else you wouldn't have that team in place. You got to think to yourself, why am I morally against transferring the cost of my increase in overhead, my increase in technician cost, the hard nature of finding even more talent, and probably the future cost of what that's going to cost? Why does none of that justify increasing your price to the customer? I don't know. You have a reason on it. This is like a rhetorical question. When you got that answer on it, just think about it this way. 90% of Hunt's clients disagree with that and have been increasing it probably 2 to 3 times as fast as you have. Hey, why was that shop able to kind of jump past us, get all the new equipment, attract these top guys, be able to market the crap out of this stuff? While you're still at $160 an hour, just like they were 4 years ago, they're up at $210 and they're still busy. They're still selling. Not that there is a limitless level on what you can charge people, but I feel like 2026, everyone is expecting everything to be expensive. So yeah, go with the times on this, make some more money. It's not getting any easier. You might as well make some money doing it. You got my random stream of consciousness. You got my thoughts, my highlights, what I thought was important on this. Now it's your time to take a look at this. But again, I have to thank you as my entire Parmelis team for making this happen. All of my clients for participating in this. I can't say thank you enough. Without you guys, this truly would not be possible. But check it out. Share it with your team. Share it with your friends. Share it with whoever you think could use this. I'd love to hear your feedback on it, questions or comments. If you want to see something different next year, if you want to highlight some of these numbers, if you want to know kind of how the sausage is made, I'm a numbers guy. I love talking about this stuff. I would be happy to chat at any point. So as always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Looking for an easier way to catch up on the show and more from the Automotive Repair Podcast Network? Go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app. And download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, read show notes, and watch videos when available. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.